Nights of Terror is an excursion into the twilight world of the dead. A chilling, brutal slice of horror from which there is no escape. We daren't show you any more of this. Watch it for yourself, if you can handle it.
Hello, and welcome to the Film and Water Podcast, proud member of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. I'm your host, Rob Kelly. And joining me once again is my pal from the Comic Reflections Podcast, Nicholas Prom. Hi, Nicholas. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me back on.
I can hear the delight in your voice because of the movie that we're about to talk about, which in this case is Burial Ground, the 1980, 81, 85, depending on what you believe on IMDb, also known as The Nights of Terror, the Italian zombie movie, which is infamous for a great many things, specifically one scene we're going to have to find our way through this together, Nicholas, because I'm not even sure I can describe the scene and not have to tag the show with the explicit tag, because just describing it is bad enough.
Yeah, this movie, I know I approached you to talk about it, but then I thought, what am I getting myself into? This is such a bizarre picture.
It really is, yeah. I mean, this all kind of started in that it led its way, because a couple weeks ago, I had my pal Dan Budnick on to talk about the other Cinderella, the softcore adult version. And he mentioned, of course, that he is currently doing the 5 Minutes with European Zombies podcast, where he is going through two different Italian zombie films, Zombie Lake and this film, Burial Ground, one minute at a time. And so he mentioned that on the show, and then I said how much I enjoy it, because I love Dan, and I've been enjoying his take on it. And then you heard that and said, you know, hey, if you ever want to do the movie, because I said how much I love Burial Ground, and you said if you ever want to cover it, be happy to do it. And I would love to – I was like, oh, I'd love to talk about this movie. It's so strange. And luckily, Dan, being the generous soul that he is, I reached out to him and I just said, hey, Dan, I don't want to step on anything you're doing on your show. You're going through it 1 minute at a time. Would you mind if I did it on the show at the same time? And he said, no, sure, go ahead. So thank you to Dan Budnick for being generous and allowing me to sort of like cover this movie as well. I would suggest that you listen to his show too, because he's doing it in really minute, literally minute detail over there. But this I said to you off air, Nick, I'm not even sure where to start with this movie. There's just so much to say about it. So why don't I ask you, where did you first see this movie?
Gosh, I mean, like, it's probably not that an exciting of a story of where I first saw it. I mean, in the 90s, I saw a couple of Italian horror films. And in the early 2000s, I kind of like got really into this stuff. Mm-hmm. And so this is like part of just a wash of like tons of me digging through obscure exploitation films from Italy. So I don't have like a specific memory to when I first saw this. There's the particular scene that's very explicit and that people talk about. I definitely was told about beforehand, but
okay, wow. So you'd kind of knew something was coming.
Yeah, I heard about a creepy dwarf and some strange stuff. Relating, and
yeah, it's we really gonna have to dance around it, because it's hard. I that's funny, because when I first saw this a bunch of years ago, some friends of mine, and they still do it, they have friends of mine had this little concern they called Exhumed Films, and I've mentioned this on previous episodes, where they screen horror movies and other genre stuff on the big screen.
Oh,
and
I think Exhumed Films, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They've been doing it for, oh my goodness, I think 20 years now.
It makes me wish I lived out there, but
yeah, they were really, really great, fun shows. And they still do them. And I was an early adopter. I went to the earliest shows, and I never missed it, and they were loads of fun. And one of the things I liked about it was they were the four guys that ran it, Harry, Dan, Joe, and Jesse. They know this stuff backwards and forwards. You know, I mean, they've seen more horror movies in their first 25 years of life than I will ever see in a lifetime. So they were introducing me to all sorts of stuff that I had never seen before, and specifically Italian horror. And again, I've mentioned this on the show before, where I really had a learning curve when it came to Italian horror, because when I first started seeing Italian horror movies, I got thrown that Italian horror movies, for the most part, aren't about the plot. They are about mood. They're about the feeling. They're about the sort of just the weird sort of friction of showing you something on the screen that's pretty transgressive. That's what they're about.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and I had a tough time adjusting to that because in the beginning I was like, wait, why are there zombies? And it took me a while to figure out it, just because there are. That's it. It doesn't matter why there are zombies. That's what the movie's about. It's about that there are zombies attacking. That's it. And I was like, oh, okay. But it took me a while to get there.
Yeah. And, you know, Italian horror stuff is like tends to have a really dreamlike quality.
Yes.
Or,
yes.
You know, or dare I say comic booky things to it. So you just shut up and go with it and have fun. You know, not all the dots need to disconnect as long as we have something entertaining to look at.
Right, right. Yeah, and I started to really enjoy that. And so one of the earliest films they showed was this film, Burial Ground. And I had no idea what I was about to see when I sat here to watch this. I had no idea. So as the movie unfolds, and this movie's plot, such as it is, yeah, such as it is so minimal, it's almost Dada-esque. It's basically... this professor who kind of looks like Rasputin.
He looks like Rick Rubin.
Yeah. That'd be an interesting movie. Yeah. He goes around and this professor digs through an old crypt and he trips some sort of ancient curse which causes a bunch of zombies to come alive and attack a bunch of people in a villa. That's it.
Yeah.
That's the plot of this movie. There is nothing else to this movie other than that. And it is just about the zombies attacking all these people. And that's it. So I'm watching this movie unfold, right? And we're seeing the actors and whatever. And then I'm noticing this one actor. and he's the actor's name, his real name is Pietro Barzocchini. But in the movie, he's credited as Peter Bark. And he plays Michael. And he is the son of – he's the only quote-unquote child in the movie. And he's clearly not a child. He's clearly an older person. I mean, he looks like a jockey.
Yeah, and he's a short adult.
He's a short adult. And as I'm watching this movie unfold, no one else around me is reacting. And I'm kind of like, wait, what's happening? Can I wanted to like raise my hand. Can I speak to somebody in charge? Like, what's going on? Like, why is no one? And I realized that virtually everybody that had seen this movie before me was in on the joke. And I didn't know. So in the beginning, I'm just like, what's happening? I don't understand. Why is there an adult? Why are they trying to pass off this adult as a child? And it will become very clear as the movie unfolds why they needed to cast a full-grown man to play this child. But it's the fact that the director, Andrea Bianchi, doesn't – I mean, Peter Bark doesn't look even remotely like a child. Not even close.
I mean, adolescent maybe, but not as young as I think they're trying to portray him.
He's supposed to be like a 10-year-old because he's like, mama, you know, he's like a little kid. And yet he's clearly old enough to drive at this point.
Yeah. Weird things. Just a little background on just some Italian exploitation cinema for the uninitiative. A Western, an American or British film will be a hit. And Italy and Spain and other countries will then try to do cash in on it by doing these strange exploitation knockoffs. Dawn of the Dead was a giant hit in Europe in 1978. It was immediately followed by Lucio Fulci's Zombie. And then a whole slew of zombie films, including Burial Ground. But there's The Beyond, there's Hell of the Living Dead, there's Nightmare City, and more. And they would go through these cycles. They did a whole ton of cannibal movies. I don't know there's an American film that was ripping off. I think that's an original kind of thing. But I love the lack of pretentiousness to these movies. It's just like, yeah, it is totally a ripoff of this other thing. But we are going to go. We are going to do it cheaply. But there's going to be a lot of exciting, entertaining crap. And, you know, making sense be damned.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're right. There is no pretensions to these at all. I mean, this movie has two nude scenes within the first 10 minutes of the movie. Because after this Rasputin guy disturbs the crypt and he gets attacked by the zombies, these couples all arrive at this villa for a vacation. And it's owned by one of the guys. And he's like a rich dude. And so they go on. And it's very – the actors are – I should mention other actors. There's Karen Weil plays Janet. Gianluigi Crizzi plays Mark. Simone Mattioli plays James. Antonella Antinori plays Leslie. Roberto Caporali is George. And then you've got some other people. You've got Claudio Zucche as Nicholas, the sort of the butler. And Anna Valenti as Catherine. And so, and Mariangela Giordano as Evelyn. And so right at the beginning, again, two of the couples start going at it.
Yeah.
And fairly explicit. I mean, the director, again, Andrea Bianchi, doesn't even really try to sustain a horror mood during these scenes. I mean, the movie just all of a sudden switches over to basically softcore. And I love the fact that one of the couples is in the room, and she's the one girl. Which one is it? Is it Leslie? Leslie puts on like this like lingerie, and she's like, "Oh, I found all this underwear in a trunk, so I thought I'd put it on." What? Do you frequently put on strange underwear that you find at other people's houses?
The clincher to that scene is when her boyfriend's, you know, pleased by this and says, "You look just like a little whore."
Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
Like, what is happening?
And she takes that as a compliment.
Right? Yeah, fun girl. She's a keeper.
She is.
I mean, opening scene of this movie, you get zombies, okay?
So yeah,
pretty quickly. The weird sex stuff. The gal who is Michael's mother, I think she was actually kind of a bit of a star in Italy before this. And during her love scene with her with Michael's stepfather, George. Right,
who Michael clearly doesn't like.
Yeah,
you get that sense that he doesn't like the stepfather. As again, we'll know why shortly.
Yeah. So the stepfather and his mother are making love, okay? And Michael walks in on them, and she jumps out of bed. and then we see her full frontal nudity, and then she picks up a sheet to cover herself and chastises her son. It was like an exercise in gratuity that is just shameless.
Yeah. She gets up and she does full frontal nudity to then cover herself up and tell Michael to leave. And you're like, all right. So what? And there's all these wonderful close-ups of Michael's eyes as he looks, you know, and you're like, okay, there's clearly some boundary issues here.
Yeah.
Going on with Michael and his mother.
Yeah. Weird stuff. But the other couples, they go and they hang out in the garden or, you know, on the estate.
Mark and Janet, right.
Yeah. And zombies attack.
Yeah, I mean, that's really pretty much it. I mean, it's just these zombies attack like these eight people, and that's pretty much it. And now the zombies move pretty slowly. They move like traditional zombies. They're not 28 days later zombies. They're kind of the lumbering guys, and you can sort of bash their skulls in and whatever and stuff like that.
And bash their skulls in, they do.
Oh, they do. Yeah, there's not juicy close-ups of heads being caved in here. But, I mean, it is remarkable how basic this movie is. And I do want to talk about the director, Andrea Bianchi, because I went and looked this guy up. And I was fascinated by his oeuvre, as if you can call it that. Now, here are a couple of his other titles. He did a movie called What the Peeper Saw. He did Strip Nude for Your Killer, which I actually own, but I haven't watched it yet because I am curious about it. He did a movie called Malabimba, which was written by the same guy that wrote this film, named Piero Regnoli. This is about Bimba's. Here's the description of Malabimba. Bimba's mother has just been murdered mysteriously, and the family is holding a seance to contact her spirit. As soon as the mystic finds her spirit, things go crazy. Okay, sure, all right. He did another movie called Exciting Love Girls, which features the single best log line in the history of cinema. A sleazy but lighthearted odd couple of thrill killer rapists drive around picking up young women, raping and brutalizing them. I'm like, wait, hold on. Stop at a sleazy but lighthearted odd couple of thrill killer rapists. Stop right there. Wait, hold on. What is the name of this movie? So there's that. And then there is Commando Mengele.
I watched some clips from that movie. Woo!
A.K.A. The Angel of Death, which is about a Jewish commando unit hunting Nazi war criminals, tracking down the infamous Dr. Mengele in the jungle, and find that he is torturing nubile young virgins and performing horrible medical experiments on the locals. They prepare to battle their way past Mengele's hordes of fanatic Nazi bodyguards in order to get him. I had to track this movie down. I had to. I cannot not see a movie called Commando Mengele. Right. And it's on YouTube.
Yeah.
You can watch the whole thing on YouTube. It's painfully dull. I can't believe a movie called Commando Mengele is dull, but it has virtually no horror in it. It doesn't have any sex. It doesn't have any it's like a boring action movie. I'm like, what? And so, yeah, I was really disappointed. Again, you know what to expect in a movie called Commando Mengele, for Pete's sakes. Yeah. And Bianchi's last film is a thing called Fleshy Doll. He died in 2013, by the way. So his filmography is littered with these kinds of movies. And you and I were talking about this before the movie started. Like, you can't objectively call Burial Ground a good movie. You really can't. It's really not a good movie, but it's entertaining as hell.
It is. Bianchi's filmography really strikes me as him being like the poor man's Jess Franco.
Oof.
Which is really –
yeah, imagine that. What are you saying about – yeah, okay. Yeah,
Franco is pretty bad.
Yeah.
But he has moments, you know.
I mean, the idea of – there is something weirdly compelling about this, about the way this movie is so much just itself. Even with, you know, Romero's films, or even maybe if you really want to be generous, like Lucio Fulci's films, there is some subtext to something going on.
Sure.
To me, there's no subtext here. This is literally just, we're going to watch zombies attack people as they're getting it on. I mean, that is really this whole movie. And that's why it only runs about like 88 minutes, because I think they knew you really couldn't sustain too much more than that.
Right. And it's pretty briskly paced too. I mean, it is not boring.
No.
And a lot of times I think, especially early on when I first started watching these Italian horror movies, I would just be really bogged down by the slow pacing, because I'm used to American films.
Right.
But then I kind of got into it, and it's like, even for an Italian movie, this is like, it really runs on a pretty rapid clip.
Right.
The zombies, and this whole movie, but the zombies are so cheap looking. I mean, you mentioned Zombie Lake earlier, and that's just, you know, green makeup on people. I don't know if you've seen that one.
I have not seen Zombie Lake yet. I want to, because I know Dan's been talking about it, and I'm curious about it, but I haven't caught it yet.
It's not good.
Okay.
But it is, I say see it, just so that you can say you've seen it.
Okay.
But this, aside from a couple of people with makeup and prosthetics, all of the main zombies are guys in these long shrouds with Dawn Post masks ordered from Captain Company, and then like altered with putty and things.
Yeah, I mean, and clearly, like, you see the guys that are wandering, like, they're all very like able-bodied. You know, like, they're clearly, like, none of these look like guys that have been in the ground for a long time. They're just able-bodied guys with just horrible masks on. I mean, there's the one main zombie we see that attacks Janet and Mark as they're getting it on in the woods. He's just got a bunch of maggots poured on his face. So they just put a mask on him and poured some maggots on. I mean, it's not a bad effect, but it's like he looks relatively hale and hearty.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that his face is all desiccated and he has no eyeballs and stuff like that. But I mean, other than that, like, he doesn't look, you know, his body doesn't look like it's been worn away by being underground all this time.
Yeah. I mean, and one of the masks, it's so blatant that it's a Boris Karloff Frankenstein.
Yes.
Mask.
Yeah.
But I have to say, they do look, for the most part, they do look cool. Mm-hmm. They're not convincing, but they look cool.
It's interesting, too, that I think there's so much of this movie in the beginning when the zombies attack is in broad daylight.
Yeah.
Which you would think most movies don't do. Most zombie movies, they're trying to hide, you know, the effects or make it look moody or whatever and put it on a bed. But this is just like – in fact, as we're talking, I'm watching Janet and Mark get attacked. Like, this just looks like a really nice summer day in Italy.
Yeah.
Except for the zombie attack. Otherwise, it looks quite nice.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's kind of like – okay, I know – Mario Bava is a much better filmmaker. But, you know, you watch $5 for an August Moon, and it's just a gorgeous-looking movie.
Right.
But there's no terror or anything or dread that you feel in this movie. It's so bright and colorful, and, like, all of it takes place either in a well-lit indoor area or outside where it's sunny.
Right, right. Yeah, I would love to be – I mean, I've seen this movie now probably – a half dozen times. More, I mean, good Lord, there's so many movies I haven't seen, but I've seen Burial Ground 6 times.
Right.
But there's just something weirdly hypnotic about it. And that's, again, that's something why when I watch it for the first time in the theater, again, seeing it for the first time in the big screen was like, that's a really cool way to see it for the first time.
Yeah.
But I mean, so our ostensible six heroes that end up, yeah, heroes, go to the, they hole up in the villa and they're just like, they're trying to figure, I mean, again, you could just run away. They've got a car. I mean, these zombies are pretty slow. You really could just get in the car and drive away, but they don't. They hole up in this villa and they try and figure out what's going on. So it's the six of them plus, again, the maid and the butler and then little Michael. One of the things I love is when all six of them are all trying to figure out what to do, they cut to the maid and she's like serving them drinks.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that the maid is still doing her job even though there's a zombie attack outside.
Right.
I mean, like, you know what? I think we can break down the whole servant, you know, boss dynamic here. There's zombies attacking. We're all just equal here at this point.
Yeah. So since this is a basically plotless film, why don't we just talk about some of the wilder scenes from this movie? Once night falls, there's a scene where the maid is, I think she's reaching out the window to close the shutters.
Right, yep.
And one of the zombies throws a rail spike, and it pins her hand to the side of the building. And then the zombies reach up with a scythe and cut her head off.
Yes. These zombies use weapons. I don't think I've ever seen that in another movie, where the zombies actually do use something else other than their hands to kill people.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. There's a fun scene of one of the guys using a shotgun and, like, blowing up a bunch of zombie heads.
Right. I mean, again, there's lots of big close-ups of these craniums getting caved in and whatever and stuff like that. Yeah. I mean, they obviously had, like, some level of money to spend. I'm getting the sense that, like, you know, this villa was probably, you know, the friend of the production or something. And he was like, yeah, you can go ahead and make a movie here.
Yeah.
One of the things I thought about when watching this movie over again is, and I don't know how you feel about it, but, like, in Italian horror, I think these movies are sort of simultaneously feminist and sort of not, because, I mean, on the one hand, these movies are totally all about women getting naked and then getting attacked. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, all the men are, it's kind of like, it's always shot as to, you know, highlight the women's nubile bodies or whatever. At the same time, I find, like, in Italian horror films, the women tend to be much more effective at dealing with the situation than men. I mean, like, in this movie, Evelyn, when she's trying to save Michael, she figures that she sets a bunch of zombies on fire. Like,
yeah.
she keeps her kind of shit together, even while the other guys are kind of flipping out. She's like, she's able to sort of, like, you know, keep her head about her shoulders and like actually manages to kill some of these zombies, which is, again, it's, I don't want to say these movies are feminist in any way, because they're not, but I always find that in Italian horror films, I think the women characters are much more interesting than the men.
I think here's a piece of the culture that we're able to kind of look at here. They are give an impression of, yes, Italian women are strong, but also they are objects that we want to have sex with at any and all opportunities.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I think that's an accurate way of looking at it. I mean, there's a point where when everybody here is holed up in the mansion, and I believe it's Mark, I forget which one of them, but one of them has this, cause they barricade themselves in the villa.
Yeah.
Right. And one of them gets the idea, who says, you know what? Maybe the zombies want something in the house. Maybe that's what it is. So let's let them in. Like, what? Like,
yeah, that's crazy.
And they all go along with it. But it's nevertheless, it's like his idea. Like, what are you, an idiot? No, you never let zombies inside. What is the matter with you?
Yeah, no, that's crazy. And I'm glad that you mentioned it.
We'll let them inside. Oh, yeah, that's a good plan.
So there's another weird scene. Again, I'm just going to jump around to just
weird. No, go right ahead, please.
There's a scene where Leslie is killed, and it's basically a ripoff of the scene in Lucio Fulci's Zombie, where, you know, with the eye injury, the zombie hand,
yes, yes,
comes through the window and pulls her closer to glass in this instance. And yeah, but that is just like a really, I mean, I know these movies all steal from each other, but that one was really blatant and, like, so poorly executed.
This, that is something else that I had to learn while watching these movies, that a lot of them are about, like just grinding up the human body to pulp.
Yeah.
Like, that is what they're kind of interested in, is like just watching that and putting it on the screen and making you kind of endure that. And that's sort of what it's about. I mean, not that American horror movies didn't get that far, but they just, I don't know. It seemed like the Italian horror films seemed so much more gleeful about it, of just like, okay, we are just going to take this person and we're going to show you what it looks like when they are just torn to shreds in a way that you're not familiar with. You're just not used to seeing in movies. I mean, for the most part, American horror films are slasher movies.
Yeah.
You know, somebody gets their head chopped off or they get a spear through their body, like, you know, Jason Voorhees kind of thing. But like in these are just like, let's grind up a human in ways that you really can't imagine. And we're going to imagine it for you. We're going to hire guys. We're going to get buckets of this goo and we're going to get a bunch of stuff. And we're going to show you what this looks like. And that's, there's like some weird fetish about it, which is sort of fascinating in its own way, of like, especially Lucio Fulci.
Oh yeah.
To me, it's like, he just really loved that kind of stuff of like, let's just do giant close-ups. And we get a lot of close-ups of zombies munching on heads and it's all full of bloody pulpy stuff. And as you mentioned, when Leslie gets it, we see that, the zombie is sitting, when she gets it later on, and then Evelyn discovers her and she thinks Evelyn has, bitten Michael, and she gets mad. And we see as she's crying over her son, because she thinks her son is dead, Leslie is just sitting there just munching on a hunk of flesh, like,
yeah,
not even paying attention to what Evelyn is doing. She's just sitting there happy, like, nom, 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 nom.
Yeah.
Just like, oh my God.
Yeah, there's some really wild stuff here. About the gore level, I think the Italians in particular, but European horror, I think in general, goes into that, like, that meat grindery kind of way. I think it's a reflection of these are societies that live through two world wars that, like, happened, like, not thousands and millions of miles away or
right,
whatever.
Yep, yeah.
They happened in their backyard.
Yep. You know? And in a lot of these people's lifetimes.
Yeah. You know, Bianchi, I don't know when he was born, but, like, he probably was at least a kid in World War II, you know, and, you know, if your country was a belligerent during a war, you have you're closer to it. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It didn't happen far away. Yeah. He was born in 1925. So he would have been 15. We would have been a teenager when Mussolini was running Italy. So he would have had, you know, fairly vivid memories of that.
Yeah. So I think that contextualizes, and, I think
it informs what's going on
a little bit.
Of this kind of, yeah, this sort of, I don't know, it's almost a kind of nihilist sort of thing of just like, all right, you know, like, the life is hell. These horrible things are happening. And frequently in Italian horror movies, there is not even remotely a happy ending. Like, zombies attack and kill all our characters and that's the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, that's it, you know?
Like, you watch a Fulci movie, they don't have happy endings. Some,
no.
Like, a person might get away.
Right.
Like, in House by the Cemetery, even, I think.
Oh, my God, that movie. Oh. I've seen that one, too, at an Exhumed show. And I remember sitting next to my friend Doug, and I just said, boy, Lucio Fulci really hates women, doesn't he? And he's like, yeah, I think so, because it's just all about grinding specifically women up into pulp. And you're just like, oh, my God, this is just horrendous. In between scenes of that old man going, house by the cemetery! Like, he just says that a lot throughout the movie. But
yeah,
this movie. So during the zombie attacks, we see a couple of people get it. And then the movie around the hour mark starts taking a very weird turn, in that Evelyn and her son Michael she's trying to comfort Michael, and he has this weird jockey body. It's very strange. He's got a very high belt and he's got this turtleneck. So anyway, she's comforting Michael and they're embracing, and then Michael,
he starts beating her up and starting to try and get under her skirt.
Yeah, he gets way too familiar with his mother, and she. What's weird is, like, she kind of goes along with it, like,
at
further.
First.
At first, like,
because
he actually
gives him a motherly kiss, and then it's like almost like they start making out.
Yeah, and then he slips his hand under her shirt, and she doesn't initially react to that, which is upsetting.
Yeah,
and then he goes down south, and that's when she slaps her hand away, and she's like, "Michael, Michael!" And he runs away, and he's all wounded. But then after that, she's upset. She's sorry that she slapped him. And I'm like, "Well, your son just tried to,
yeah,
you know, like, what? Well, I think you have every right to be mad at him." But and that's where you're just like, "Wait, what is this movie? What's going
on?" He says, "What's wrong? I'm your son," and runs away.
Yeah, like, you know? Okay, so. And then it's after that when he runs away is that he gets attacked by Leslie. Now, of course, he doesn't immediately turn into like a flesh eating zombie the way the rest of them do. He seems more like a ghost because he's got this sort of ghostly pallor and whatever. And then that's when things start closing in. They let the zombies in and everybody starts attacking, and all our characters start getting it one by one, as they do in these zombie movies. There's George. Is he the guy with the fro and the stash? I can never keep these characters' names
George
straight because, of course,
he was the stepdad. He was killed early on when the zombie.
Oh, okay, that's the stepdad. That, okay, I guess it's James then. The guy with the stash and the fro, because he gets attacked by the zombies and dragged off. And I love that. It's like I don't know. Maybe it's the one scary moment in the movie is where he gets attacked. And as he's writhing and they're like ripping into him, they then cut to Mark and Janet and Evelyn as they hear him screaming, and there's nothing they can do. I always find that like always chilling, that you're like, look, we're trying to stick together here, but I also know I can't go rescue my friend because there's nothing I'm going to be able to do. So just to hear him, you know, scream in agony as you know he's being eaten is grotesque.
Now, I want to talk about that for a second, though, because the scene leading up to that, he leaves the villa and goes to a monastery, which is like
next door
or something.
Yes.
And he's going to look to the monks for help. And then it's only after he's in the room with them and he's apologizing for interrupting.
They've all got their hoods on and stuff like that, right.
Then they all look up and he realizes they're zombies. And then he tries to leave, but then zombies are right behind him. And then they tear him up. But it reminded me a little bit of the Tombs of the Blind Dead movies.
Okay. I've seen at least one of those.
That is a wonderful series. The third one's kind of crummy, but the other three are great. But yeah, just the robes and the hooded kind of thing, it just made me think of that. The last scene of the movie, I guess the final climactic moment, is Evelyn and Mark and whatever the blonde girl's name is.
Janet, down in the basement, right.
They're down in the basement, and they're kind of trying to barricade themselves in.
Always a good idea to go down to a room with no windows and no way to escape. That's always a good plan.
Yeah, right? and, you know, they're fighting off zombies because zombies come from the upstairs, too. And one of them is Michael.
Right.
And Mark and the girlfriend tell Evelyn, no, don't. He's a zombie, you know.
He's a zombie, right. Yeah,
she
don't touch him. Yeah.
Him. And then feeling bad for, like, slapping him earlier, she, like, opens up her shirt for him to feed. Like, when she...
Like you did as a baby, Michael.
Yeah. And then he bites off her nipple.
Okay. All right. I guess we're going for it. Yeah. Yes, he does. And the thing I love about... First of all, again, I remember seeing that scene... You know, and I was not warned that it was coming.
Oh.
And I was just like, what the holy F am I? What is this movie?
See, you're so lucky that you didn't have it spoiled for you, though.
Yes. Well, they were big on that. But the thing that I love about that scene, aside from that, this just absolutely Andre Bianchi and his screenwriter just going for it, is the fact that they then cut back to Mark and Janet, right? Now, one of the things that I find are a hallmark of Italian horror movies is that people don't really react to the crazy shit they find themselves in. Like, zombies attack and people just deal with it. At no point does anybody go, what is happening? Like, they just roll with it. But in this movie, when that whole scene is happening and Michael is getting way too comfortable with his mother, and his mother seems totally down for it, they cut to Mark and Janet, and Mark gives Janet this look of like, what are we looking at?
Right.
And I love that because it's like in their current reality, they're being attacked by zombies, and yet that is not the weirdest thing they are seeing today. I love that moment of like, there's this brief moment of self-actualization where they're like, what is happening in front of us? And then of course, yes, Michael bites a chunk of his mother off, and then she dies, and then he dies, and then we're left with just Mark and Janet as they are slowly being attacked by the zombies. And it's sort of funny because, of course, there's a buzzsaw down in this basement, because of course there is.
Yeah.
And the zombies grab Mark, they put his head onto this table, and they're clearly about to run his head through a buzzsaw. And the movie ends with Janet surrounded by a bunch of zombie hands as she's about to be torn apart. And then there's this quote that comes over the screen. It says, "The earth shall tremble, graves shall open. They shall come among the living as messengers of death, and there shall be the knives of terror." Not knights, knives,
yeah, they
misspelled.
Yeah.
And it's credit to the prophecy of the black spider, with prophecy spelled P-R-O-F-E-C-Y.
Yeah.
So clearly not a lot of attention to detail when it came to this movie.
Right. I mean, they really just ground it out and put it out there. Because zombies were big. 1980 was as far as grindhouse cinema goes, I think that that's probably the biggest year, for them. There's a whole bunch that year. And yeah, this is a crazy movie, and it really, it's trash, but it's wonderful to look at it as a snapshot of a time and to see, like, this is how European cinema, at least used to be. That's why I love a lot of 70s and 80s exploitation films. It's like, oh, man, there's going to be batshit stuff like this.
I mean, I'm guessing that if your other filmmakers are making movies that are this out there, you have to find something that's going to make your movie pop, you know, that's going to make it stand out among all the other movies of zombies attacking and grinding people up. So I guess when you're like, well, okay, I'm going to have presumably a dwarf or a little person, or at least a very tiny person, this Pietro Barzocchini guy, Peter Bark. Yeah, of course, now we know why you couldn't have a child play that part, because you could not have a child do the things in the movie that he does. And I love on IMDb, I looked him up, he basically only has one or two other credits. And on IMDb, someone writes, "Alas, Bark's regrettably sparse other movie roles were uncredited bit parts, and he subsequently never became the major celluloid star he deserved to be." Really? Really? Did he really have much of a chance to be a major celluloid star?
I think that's
looking kinda, like the way he did. Did his mom write that?
It's kind of tongue-in-cheek. You know, people who are really into these kinds of movies, they will zero in on a strange character actor who shows up in one thing, but it's very memorable.
He could have been the Tom Cruise of his generation. No, he really couldn't have been. No. That's not really the case. Something else I learned again from looking up Italian films specifically is there is, I guess it's just a cultural thing, there is just a lot more, especially in genre films, there's just a lot more of dealing with, for not to be indelicate, but like incest.
Yeah.
It's a topic that comes up a lot. I mean, I was looking up at some of the other credits of these actors, because, I mean, I'm not really familiar with any of them other than Peter Bark. And, like, Antonella Antonori, who is Leslie, she's in a movie called With Your Aunt, It's Not a Sin.
What? So
there you go. Yeah, there you go. And then Mark, who's played by Gianluigi Carizzi, his final credit – this is his final credit. He was in a movie called My Dear Nephews – which is about in the village of Bassa Padana, a beautiful and shapely 40-year-old girl is aunt of some boys in the middle of their sexual maturity. So clearly that's a thing that these genre films really traded in, was that forbidden kind of thing. And that's something that in America is, for the most part, like a non-starter.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no, culturally, we're just like, no, we do not want to see movies with that as the subject matter. But I guess in Italian genre films, that's just something you can bring up pretty casually.
Yeah, incest. I mean, I cannot think of an American film that's really touched on that.
I can think of one. And
okay.
The Spanking the Monkey, which is the first film by David O. Russell, which is about a young son that takes care of his mother, and then they develop this. But even then, that film is about how disastrous that decision is and how it wrecks your life. These movies seem to be kind of like, Oh, you know, it's one. Okay, you know, I mean, it's like, I mean, the major problem kind of with the happens with Evelyn here is that her son is a zombie. It's not so much the incest part; it's that he's become a zombie. That's really the problem.
Like, yeah.
No, there's a lot more to it than that. But you know, okay. And I am kind of curious, Mariana. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
Mariangela Giordano, again, plays Evelyn. She actually did a couple of movies with other actors I've heard of. She did a movie called Colossus and the Amazon Queen with Rod Taylor from The Time Machine.
Oh, wow.
And she did a movie called Patrick Still Lives, which was written by Piero Regnoli, who did this film. So there's a lot of crossover with all of these people. It's that's part of it. I mean, I'm so horribly disgusted by all the stuff with Peter, but I also find it compelling because you just can't believe that somebody put this to, you know, put this to screen. And again, I always think about, like, how do you pitch this to your actor? You know, like when you get Miss Giordano, when you're like, oh, here's the script, I think you probably are going to want to jump to page 80 because that's kind of have to be the deal breaker for you in this movie or not.
Right. But yeah, I don't know what else I could say about this movie. It is a Mondo Bizarro movie, even for Italian genre cinema.
Right.
Which it seems to be like pretty much anything goes.
Yeah, right. It's just like, and again, I'm sort of fascinated of like what the Italian film distribution world is like. Like, was this given like a major release? Was this something that you could, I mean, if this was made in America, this would not have ever played in anything other than the most grimy, dark, you know, grindhouse theaters.
Sure.
This could never have played in any sort of major way. But I wonder, in Italy, did it? Like, was this something you could just go out for the night and say, well, what are you interested in seeing? Well, I could see, you know, well, there's a new Fellini film and there's a Pasolini film. Oh, let's go see Burial Ground. You know, I mean, was that one of the things? I have no idea. It's just, again, it's like, it's just, they go for it, man.
Yeah. And I have to say, I love the freedom of just, you can do anything, even some crazy thing like this, and you can get it made, get it in theaters. Like, what a wild time. What a country.
Yeah, I mean, that is something that, again, as I was seeing all these movies for the first time and I've taken in other Italian horror, that is something I have been enjoying because you're just – it's total tabula rasa. You know, you are just like, I could literally see anything in the next 90 minutes. And that's very exciting. I mean, with a lot of American films, you kind of know what you're going to get. There's a certain amount of lines that are not going to be crossed for an American film, even in an independent one. But in Italian horror, it's just like, let's just go, you know, it can be anything. And that is very, very exciting in its own way. I mean, this thing is certainly not meant for everybody. I mean, just
no.
the stuff we've described. I'm sure there are some people listening to this that are like, oh my, why would you watch this kind of movie? But it again, there is just something so wonderfully transgressive about just letting it rip like this and putting your actors through this, you know, grindhouse of horror. And again, you know, again, the scene's coming as I'm watching, the movie's playing on my screen as I'm talking, and we're getting to that big moment. And you're just like, I just can't believe they did. I mean, imagine shooting that. You're
right?
Getting up for the day and you're like, oh, what's the day? Okay, well, we got to make the prosthetic nipple for Miss Giordano. And okay, Peter, here you bite down. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what? Like,
right?
I wonder, did Bianchi give them that level of direction, or was it more just like, let's just get through this, we know what we got to do?
Right.
It's just sort of fascinating, really.
Right. But I think that's the wonderful draw for these kinds of pictures, is you never know what you're going to see. And that surprise level, it's not shocking in like, because these movies aren't scary.
No, it's not. No, they're not scary at all. They're gore fest, but they're not frightening.
Yeah, but I think it's really cool to just be surprised by, like, a movie you could think is like, oh, okay, I know how these kinds of things play out, and then a weird turn like the incestuous dwarf. What?
Just saying it that way, the incestuous dwarf, you're like, wow, okay, yeah, that's a thing. The last thing I do want to mention in this movie is the score. By Elcio Mancuso and Berto Pisano. Here, I love it's so peppy. It's like this little peppy jazz music. It's totally not in keeping with the theme of the movie. Like, it's not meant to be scary at all. It's like, da, 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 da. You know, like it's like a Holiday Inn type thing. And that's something else I've grown to really appreciate about Italian horror, is that they don't bother to create, in a lot of ways, some sort of coherent mood. It really is just kind of this herky-jerky sort of thing. As I mentioned earlier, like the sex scenes are almost like softcore porn scenes.
Sure.
And then there's this unimaginable horror. And then in between you have this little jazzy score. Like, they really are just kind of throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Yeah. And you have to remember, like, you look at a lot of Italian cinema and like a sex film is a mainstream film.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I look at that as a net positive, because there's just an openness to ideas. You know, we're not real prudish like in America. I think even though you're going to get some really bizarre, you know, weird stuff, overall it's good.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the product is kind of like maybe not great cinema, it certainly, again, does not bore the viewer.
Right. Now, getting off of Burial Ground, I want to ask you, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but like, there are a couple of Italian horror movies that you would genuinely recommend as quote unquote good movies? Because I can think of a couple. Now, I don't have the depth of knowledge of the genre the way, like I said, my friends at the Exhumed Films do. Those guys just know this stuff backwards and forwards. But there's a couple I've seen, like I've seen The Beyond. Vultures,
yeah.
The Beyond, like that, or even Zombie for that matter. I mean, which features a zombie fighting a shark, which is like one of the great all time moments in cinema.
Right.
Like, I think those are ostensibly good movies. I mean, in terms of what they're trying to do, I can't. Again, we said earlier, I don't think you could say Burial Ground is a good movie. It's an entertaining movie, which I guess makes it good in its own way.
Yeah.
But it's not scary. It's the characters are paper thin, and it's the tone is all over the place. But like The Beyond, in particular, like I think weaves a certain spell, and it maintains it throughout the runtime. Even though, again, it's also incredibly gory.
Yeah. For Italian stuff, there's really three directors that are my go-to guys, and there are a lot of guys who are just, you know, exploitation guys, real kind of fly by night guys who will have a fun movie, like your Bruno Mattei's or Bianchi, the guy who directed this movie. But I mean, like a lot of Mario Bava's pictures from the late 60s and the 1970s, most of these are good films. Fulci has a handful of particularly good movies. Dario Argento has a bunch of good movies.
Suspiria.
Tenebrae is another favorite of mine. Deep Red. You know, and that's just Argento, but Bava, I mean, I mentioned $5 for an August Moon it's a pretty movie to watch. I don't know that that's a great movie, but Blood and Black Lace is great.
I've never seen that one. I've seen August Moon, but we even covered it here on the show, but I have not seen Black Lace. That's good.
Yeah, and I recommend watching it in Italian with the English subtitles.
Okay.
Because
the dubbing on these movies are terrible. It's always terrible.
But that movie, that allows you to look at the movie more as a piece of art. And listening to that language, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I've watched it in English, and it doesn't have the same effect on me.
Right, sure.
I mean, Bava has quite a few good movies. Black Sabbath, which is an anthology horror picture.
Oh, I love Black Sabbath, yeah.
Yeah, me too. With
Boris Karloff. There you go, yeah. Boris Karloff again.
And let's see, Bay of Blood, also which is also known as Twitch of the Death Nerve.
17 other titles of Bay of Blood. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of these have a bunch of different titles. Barren Blood I thought was really good too. Also, that's another Mario Bava one. Fulci didn't do a whole lot of giallos. He did a lot of these like more supernatural things.
Right.
Like The Beyond. But there's one of his that's really good. It's called Don't Torture a Duckling.
Oh, I've seen that one, yes. Oh, that's again with the weird young people having relations with older people. Again,
but that is a genuinely really good movie.
Yes, I did like that. But again, with that bizarro title.
And the reveal at the end is a genuine surprise. And it's creepy. That's one of the best best Italian horror movies, particularly of the giallo subgenre. But yeah, no, there's a lot of great stuff there, and even the stuff that's not great is often quite entertaining.
I would agree. Like I said, I had a really great time when I would go to those Zoom shows and just taking stuff in that I had never seen. Because again, when you're raised on one particular, you know, I mean, I'd seen some foreign films when I was younger, but not that much. And so, you know, when you're raised on American films and then you start seeing things from other cultures, your mind gets expanded. You're just like, oh my God, this stuff is crazy. You know, this stuff is just bonkers. And yeah. And I've mentioned this on other shows, like some of the best experiences I've ever had seeing movies is seeing a movie that I had literally no idea what I was about to see. No idea. And I don't mean that just even with horror. I mean any movies. There's been a handful of times where I have gone and bought a ticket to go see a movie in a theater. And I was like, I know a title. And I know maybe the director, and it's like a drama. That's all I know. And yeah. A lot of times those have been great experiences, and there's something to that. And so it was highly enjoyable getting to watch these movies completely unfamiliar. And this one, again, just packs such a punch because of weird little Michael. I mean, it's just such a weird detail. And it would have been interesting to see if you could have used that trick in later movies to kind of like, you know, get him to keep doing weird things, but really just did this. And that's what he's famous for, is especially that shot of him in his little jammies with his little, like, he's got it's almost like Star Wars blankets or something, you know, it's not Star Wars, but it's like,
yeah,
it's clearly meant for like a child, and they've like, you know, like little ducklings or something on them. And there's this, you know, guy who's clearly in his, at the very least, in his mid-20s, pretending he's a little child. Yeah, he's 25. He looks older than that, too. That's a weird thing. He looks older than that. So, yeah, I mean, this – obviously, for a lot of you listening, this is not going to be your cup of tea from what we've described it. But I really wanted to talk about it because it's just – it's one of those things that has stuck with me through all the years since I've seen it. And as I mentioned, my pal Dan Budnick is going through it a minute at a time over on his show. I suggest you check it out. So – Nicholas, thank you for suggesting this, because again, I like talking about real outsider stuff, and I don't get a chance to as much, so this was a lot of fun. So thank you for coming back.
Well, thank you so much, Rob. I had a lot of fun.
So where can people find you on the internet?
Well, folks can listen to my show, Comic Reflections, or everywhere you find your podcasts.
Fair enough. That's pretty much all you need to say, I guess. So, of course, you want to listen to this show. You can find back episodes on iTunes and on Stitcher. And you can go to the website, fireandwaterpodcast.com. And, of course, we're always talking about movies over on Twitter, which is at Film and Water Pod. So thanks, everybody, for listening. And until next week, that's a wrap.
Oh, it's Michael.
Michael. Michael. Michael, Michael, oh my baby, my son, my son, Michael.
Stop, Evelyn, don't touch it, no, it's a zombie, don't touch it.
You came back to me, didn't you? Oh, darling, I'm so happy. Oh, Michael, oh, darling, oh, dearest, oh, you're here. We'll never leave each other again. Oh, darling. Always together. Michael, look at me, angel. Look at me.